unbelievable!
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to the Good Trash Genre Cast, where we, the UCO Film Society, gather around somewhere in the liberal arts building, buried deep within the bowels of the English department, and we discuss the movies that you will never, ever talk about when you're taking a film studies class. Today, we're going to be looking at the movie Office Space, but before we get into that, we've got some introductions to do. First of all, there's me. My name's Dustin Sells. I am a grad student in the 20th and 21st Century Studies program here at UCO. To my right, this dapper gentleman. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, I am Dalton Stewart, and I do not have a several-word-long major. I am a sociology major here at the University of Central Oklahoma.
Words do not give value, sir. There's value in it by itself. To my left, would you introduce yourself, young lady?
I am Gracia Gramajo, and I am a political science major.
So, we are gathered together there. We're missing a couple people tonight. Our wishes go out to Mr. Arthur Gordon, who has no voice. Hence, he's not on the podcast, because that makes it difficult.
It is an auditory medium, and that would make things a little bit complicated.
But Arthur, we hope you get well soon. Please send your well wishes to Arthur via Twitter, Facebook, and the Tumblr.
He'd appreciate it.
Moving on, let's go ahead and talk about the movie that we're going to discuss. We're going to look at 1999's film, this cult comedy classic, Office Space. Today, we're going to allow the voice of the dollar theater. Usually we have the voice of the cinema, Mr. Arthur Gordon, who did a fantastic Batman rendition last week.
And I think it killed him. I really think that put him over the edge.
That was it. That's how the voice was lost, perhaps. But in Arthur's absence, as maybe the Twitter has noted, actually none of us are real, and it's all Dalton anyway. But Dalton, to keep up the ruse today, is going to be the voice of the dollar theater and give a synopsis.
A comedic tale of company workers who hate their jobs and decide to rebel against their greedy boss. That's it.
Thank you, voice of the Dollar Theater. We'll be sending you right on back to Starplex Cinemas as soon as we are rejoined by Mr. Arthur Gordon. But that was serviceable.
And that was a sad reading.
And gets the job done. Well, let's just do a quick little discussion about what we think of the movie. It'll just be Dalton and I talking at this point because Gracia Gramajo is...
I have no excuse.
Guilty.
So yes. Instead of just being me and Dustin rambling... de facto, it'll be me and Dustin rambling du jour.
Correct. In French. We're going to ramble in French.
No, we're not.
All right.
That would be a real short episode.
Dalton, what do you think?
I really dig this movie. This movie's got a special place for me. The quickiest thumbs up, definitely. That's a short version.
For me, I've seen that clip.
The clip
of that section. That section being the destruction of a printer.
Okay, what's that?
Which, yes, I think everyone, I don't think it's possible to exist in this culture.
I listened to that track from The Ghetto Boys on my way here just to get in the field.
Just get psyched up.
Get in it.
You know, for the good trash.
I'd quote a line for you, but frankly, I can't.
I mean, I can,
just, you know, to keep it radio safe.
Right. Moving on. I saw the actual film in its entirety for the first time, and I laughed.
Did you?
I did. And
Comedy did its job,
and I really enjoyed it, and I have other things that I'm going to talk about, but let's go ahead and get into that.
Okay, let's do it.
As I was laughing, one of the things I remarked upon was this film is a 1999 film, and we're going to talk more about 1999 films here in a little bit, and it came early in the year. It's a February release, I happen to have noticed,
okay,
on this film, and you see the insurgence of the consultant for whom everyone has to interview for their jobs, mm-hmm, just like you see in American Beauty. You see the roving agent of terror approaching the cubicle of our hero, and he has to duck down and hide, just like a movie called
The Matrix. And you see Peter and his friends take their sweet, brutal vengeance on the object of their torment, like in Fight Club. So I think it's worth mentioning our original top five is going to be great office revenge moments, and we realized, holy crap, a lot of these are from the year 1999, so that's what we're going to do this week.
And so, all that 1999-ness, and I just got to say, those guys, those other movies, those are rip-offs.
Those movies that were in production probably at the same time
the
as
same
this movie?
The same time, yeah.
Were probably written...
Yeah.
Yeah, those are rip-offs?
Those are rip-offs, because Office Space did it first. The great classic of 1999, the underrated classic.
Definitely. I think
it's the film Office Space.
I think it's quite fairly rated now. Yes. I think at the time it definitely did not do well, but it certainly gained the respect it deserves.
I'm up to say analysis-wise, I love this movie because it's all about how corporations at times and how human beings and power structures do these, put together these structures and hierarchies in order to dehumanize people. That's what I saw in this film, is that these three main protagonists completely lose all identity and all meaning. They have terrible jobs. They don't like it. I mean, everything is miserable. They don't actually do anything. What's the main character's job? He's putting the 19s and the 2000s on numbers. I mean, that's his job. And then the other dude's job is to make sure papers get from point A to point B, but he doesn't actually ever go from
point A to point B. He's good with people.
Very good with people. And so all of this dehumanizing structure, and I just think to myself, you know, a lot of what we do in our culture, and as we lock ourselves in traffic and gridlock and commutes and whatnot, we fail to really take hold of the things in life that really matter. And I think the ending statements in the film are probably appropriate, that we're all going to have jobs that we don't like, but what we need to do is hang on to things that are really valuable.
Dustin, your analysis is actually pretty close to my own. You know, the first time I saw this film, I was probably 13 or 14, old enough to get the jokes, but not quite old enough to get what was going on under the surface, and I revisited it several times since then. But really, pretty close to what you had to say. Obviously, this is a hilarious movie. It's
funny,
endlessly quotable. I mean, it's a jump to conclusions, Matt. It's the worst idea I've ever heard in my entire life. But yeah, I think this movie is about finding happiness where you can. Definitely. It's about money not being that important.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the end, they end up right back where they started, some of them with less than they had in the beginning. And that's kind of the course of this film. Ron Livingston's character, you know, is just completely dissatisfied with his life and is basically given an excuse by a hypnotist to do what he wants. And what he wants to do is not work in an office. You know, whatever that entails in the long run, and he ends up happier for it. So other than being a hilarious movie, I think it's, like most of the films of 1999, has a lot to say about what, you know, where does happiness come from?
Leaving aside the answer of Dietrich Bader, who is brilliant in this film, what would you do with $1 million?
Dietrich Bader is great in this film. And leaving aside his answer, I gotta go with Pete's answer, man. I wouldn't do anything. I would be content. And granted, the lesson of this film, you don't need $1 million to do that. You can just do that. But it's a lot easier if you have $1 million.
It is handy to have $1 million. Grace, what would you do with $1 million?
Some for charity, the rest for shopping. I'm going to be honest.
There you go. I tell you what I'd do with $1 million. I'd pay off my school debt.
Glad you have to remind us.
When you take it realistically.
No, I would pay off my school debt. I seriously have some. Pay off my school debt. I would continue my education as I plan to do, and I would run a revival theater. I would buy a building, and I would run nothing but movies before 1977, and on the weekends.
I changed my mind. Let's do that. Let's pool our money.
That would be my life.
Let's pool our $1 million.
You know what? That would be included in my shopping. I would buy the theater, and then it'd be like a.
I've changed my mind. Yeah, I don't want to do nothing. I can do nothing but do that, which is something. And it's all about. And I think that speaks to why we do this podcast. Movies make us happy.
Absolutely. And that's what is completely lacking in our main character's life in Office Space. Is there is no beauty, there is no poetry, there is no music, there is no art. That's why he takes the screws out of his cubicle, knocks it down so he can see the trees and the wind blowing in them. Because that's what life needs, is beauty. And when you are in part of any sort of system that minimizes beauty, that minimizes your basic humanity, it's just like being a hamster in a hamster wheel. And you will have that exact same sort of frustration against which we must rebel, a la Fight Club, The Matrix, or American Beauty.
Yeah.
Dustin, that was a good answer. But, yeah, I'm going to need you to bring me a more thought-out version of that on Saturday.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, I just hate that guy.
Gary Cole is so wonderful. Everyone in this film is just great. Mm-hmm. I mean, there isn't a bad character in this film. Oh. Michael Bolton. I love that character. Just There's nothing wrong with my name before that. No Talent Ass Clown started making music. I just like, they're so, started winning Grammys. There's just so many great characters, great lines in this film. I love it.
It's a good movie. It really is. So I guess the question is, the obvious question is, would you put it in the trash or on the shelf? And what else or instead would you watch? I ask you, Dawson Stewart.
I'm coming out swinging. I'm putting it on the shelf. And a film I can definitely recommend, kind of along these similar lines, is from a couple years ago, called Everything Must Go, with Will Ferrell. I don't know if any of you guys have seen that one. Kind of along the same lines, about being stuck in a rut and refining, you know, what's important in life by burning down all that material stuff and really getting to the core of what's important to you.
Outstanding.
And also another funny film.
Outstanding choice. I really appreciate that. I think what I would go for is I would say absolutely put it on the shelf, and I would also say you should also watch Joe versus the Volcano. Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan, finding the meaning of life. The scene where he walks into his absolute rut of a job and talks about the fluorescent light sucking the life out of his eyeballs is worth the price of admission all by itself. So check that movie out. It's a lot of fun.
Seen Joe vs. the Volcano. I'm aware of it. They both play a couple of characters in that film? Or is it Meg Ryan plays a couple of characters?
Meg Ryan plays a handful of characters. Okay. Joe is only Joe.
Joe is only Joe. Throughout. Tom Hanks is only Joe.
I'm just going to say that fluorescent light quote just kind of depressed me a bit.
Rings, oh, yeah, no. I'll definitely catch up on that one.
It's fun.
I'll check it out. Have you seen Everything Must Go?
I have.
What'd you think?
I like it.
I like it.
I like Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell's, you know, he's definitely got dramatic chops. And I enjoy any time he puts that to use.
Speaking of which, have you seen the commercial he did for the Swedish beer?
He did a commercial for a Swedish beer?
It's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
I want to see this because he's funny. Well, moving on to the next section of our podcast, we have been talking about the year 1999. We have mentioned a handful of films that came out of that year. There is a bit of writing about the year that changed films. And I'm going to say this, and Dalton mentioned this earlier while we were off air. This seems to cycle. There are big years within film. 1999 happens to be one of them.
I would also throw out a 2008 as a game-changing year. Not in as big a way as 99 or 77 was another year we talked about. But you're giving me a look. Go back and look at what came out in 2008 and come back and we'll talk, okay?
Okay, I'll give you that.
2008 was a darn good year.
Yeah, example.
The Dark Knight just completely blew the lid off what could... It was a good reminder that action film doesn't have to be dumb.
But was there a set of films?
And for some reason, none of them are coming to mind. Let me rephrase that. I just remember going to movies a lot in 2008 is maybe what it was. And I remember seeing a lot of films I truly enjoyed.
While you guys argue, I'm going to set up a wrestling little mat so you guys could wrestle this out after.
There will be no gun kata fights this week between me and Justin. I think we can both agree we love the year 1999.
It's a great year. I mean, obviously,
mentioned
the Oscar winner that year, American Beauty. We've already mentioned The Matrix. Star Wars happened that year, whether you love it or hate it, as we all hate it, but it's a big deal that the first of prequels are launched. Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia, Stanley Kubrick's
Last Film. Quit listing everything on my list, jeez.
So what is your list? Go ahead.
Well, before I go down my list, we did have some listener feedback. I asked Twitter, what do you think about the year 1999 in film? At Corey, I hope I'm saying this right, Futrell. Corey, I feel bad. I met you in person. You're a cool guy. Corey, Futrell, had this to say. I'm going to go, he didn't give it any particular order, but I'm going to go bottom to top. Office Space, good answer. Blast from the Past, starring Brendan Fraser, that was not something I expected. American Beauty, The Matrix, and 13th Warrior.
Excellent choices, those are all good
movies. I agree. A couple of them will be coming up again.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And we got one from @ShaneCornWithAK1 on Twitter. Again, going in reverse order. The Ninth Gate, Three Kings, Galaxy Quest, Fight Club, and The Matrix.
Excellent.
Again, some of these will be coming up again.
Which ones will be coming up, Dalton Stewart?
Do you want to alternate? Is that what we want to do? Do we want to...
Grace, do you want to go...
Let's go 555-444-333-221.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds great.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
We're definitely stealing the format of one of our inspirations, film spotting right now, and I have no shame in saying that. It's a great podcast. So let's bust it out.
What's your number five?
My number five is a film by Jim Jarmusch called Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai.
It's a good movie.
That is a good-ass movie. I actually just caught up with this probably... a year ago, maybe, and it shot right to the top of my list. I mean, it's a good movie. Obviously, it's a decent action. It's probably the least cerebral of all of Jim Jarmusch's films. He's not a filmmaker I love. I like him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't go as far as to say I love him. Kind of fun, violent action movie, but also a really kind of meditative film that I really enjoy. So highly recommend checking out that film starring Forrest Whitaker as a samurai hitman.
My number five movie would have to be The Iron Giant. Animated film. Love it so much. Kind of Red Scare, Cold War era type setting in the film. Watched it with my boys. My youngest bawled his eyes out.
Oh, man.
It's so wonderful and touching and heartwarming, and it is traditional animation.
Truly.
And there are things that can be said with traditional animation. I'm glad there's still efforts being put forward that way. I like the CGI. I'm not a hater.
No.
But I'm glad that that art continues, because there are just certain stylistic things that I really appreciate, and all that 50s atomic age is just wonderful.
That great nostalgia to it. Yeah, definitely.
And
it captures the era really well, I
absolutely
think. Granted, I wasn't alive, but, you know, I feel like it. I've seen photos. I've seen films from that decade.
Back
I've been
future.
Under my
I know
desk
people,
before.
I know people that were alive during that decade.
Marty McFly went back then, and I experienced it with him.
Isn't it weird to think about it? Back to the Future is made now, they'd be going back to when the original Back to the Future was made. Weird.
You're number five.
So I came up with this like last moment, so some of these movies I'll probably change my mind about later, but my number five was The Matrix, just because it's so easy to get really philosophical with it. And sometimes you look at it back and you're like, God, that isn't really as philosophical, but it's still, you can get pretty philosophical.
It's definitely
it.
A game changer.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's probably a movie we'll probably hear again.
Let's I suspect we will.
My number four
is in fact Office Space.
Really?
I like this movie that much. I really do. I've probably seen it close to a dozen times.
I noticed when you walked in and you threw your jacket on the floor and you were pumped. So I figured maybe he likes this movie.
Well, I was excited because I sped here, not knowing we were going to be recording tonight. But I really do enjoy the film Office Space quite a bit. I didn't have time to formulate my thoughts on this film as well as I would have liked of normally. But I really do enjoy this film. And if you have yet to catch up with it, I highly recommend getting it.
It's a good movie. Didn't make my list, but it's an honorable mention.
Well, you just watched tonight.
Yeah.
Or whenever.
My number four movie is Being John Malkovich.
Nice.
An
honorable mention for me.
I love me some Spike Jones and some John Malkovich. I mean, does it get any better?
That's a weird movie in a good way.
It is super weird in a super good way. And I do like weird and good. And
it's definitely right up your alley, surrealist.
So, yes, I was very pleased with that movie, and it's probably one of my favorites of all time.
Really?
I like it
Excellent.
A lot.
My number four was going to be your number four, but it changed at the last moment to You're Gonna Kill Me, Big Daddy, because I like Adam Sandler, and I love that movie, and it made me cry.
Believe it or not, that is actually an honorable mention for me as well. I also enjoy the film Big
right?
Daddy. Yeah, no, that film...
But I want my own...
that is a film that... it's one of probably five films that has the ability to make me cry every time I watch it.
And it has Jon Stewart in it.
Well, you know.
There's that.
It is not a bad film. It's kind of one that got lost in the filmography of Adam Sandler a bit. But it's a good movie.
Now, I was a senior in high school in the year 1999.
I was nine. Just, you know.
I was on a bad date that night when I saw that movie. When I saw Big Daddy in theaters, so
I love it.
Did she cry?
No.
I was taken to go see it by my father. My divorced father on a weekend he had with
Aww.
Me. So it's got a special place in my heart. It resonates. The
sweet.
Themes of that film resonated with little 9-year-old Dalton.
That's sweet.
See, I just cry a lot.
No,
so.
I cry a lot too. Movies have the ability to suck emotion out of me.
Well, what sucked the emotion out of you for number three?
The Iron Giant, actually.
My man.
Bones. I really love this movie. Again, another one of about five films that makes me cry every time I watch it. It's just, it's that good.
Yes.
It really is. Not enough good things can be said about this movie, and you've said most of them already, so let's keep it going.
My number three film, no one has seen in this room. It's Nang Nak. It's a Thai film. It's
Dork.
A ghost story. It is beautiful.
I actually think I've heard of
it. It is fun. It is creepy, and it began a new cycle in horror film in Thailand. So, Thai cinema, it's a great introductory place, and I love that movie a lot. And it's available on YouTube, last I checked. So... give it a look. Nang Nak. NangNak. What's your number three, Grace?
My number three was Austin Powers, because...
The Spy Who Shagged Me?
Yes.
The second one?
Fired.
I'm sorry. I love all the Austin Powers movies. I find them hilarious, and I secretly wish I was Austin Powers.
All right, moving on. Number two.
The Matrix.
The Matrix.
I told you it'd come up again. As I said, this film is a game changer. It's one of those films, a game-changing film, like 1994, big year in film also, Pulp Fiction. There's a set of films that get talked about so much in the conversation of recent cinema that they kind of lose just how good they are. And you revisit these kinds of films, particularly in this case, The Matrix, and you remember, oh wait, it really is that good of a movie. Believe the hype, kids. Like, if you haven't seen it in a couple years, go back and rewatch it.
My number two film, Fight Club.
Nice.
Love Fight Club. Very good. I think we might hear a little bit about it again. But Fight Club is a fantastic film. I really enjoy it. It is quite subversive and crazy and radical and just bat guano nuts.
In the best kind of
way. In the best kind of way. Tyler Durden. That's all I can say. It's just a very, very good movie.
I could say more.
I'm going to go with Audition. I mean, I didn't,
nice.
I didn't watch it until later, but I was like, hey, it's from 1999. I am still not quite sure what happens, but I love it. Like, it's one of those, hey, you want to watch something weird? And it's like 3 in the morning, and like your friends are kind of out of it. You're like, let's watch this. Like, I love The Audition.
I haven't seen this movie.
I'm very much aware of this movie. Mm-hmm. That Southeast Asian horror cinema will do a number on your brain.
So watch it at 3 in the morning.
No, I'm good. Somebody tried to get me to watch Tale of Two Sisters at 3 in the morning? Uh-uh. Not having it.
All right, well, now the moment you've all been waiting for.
Probably
let's talk
not.
About our number one film. Dalton Stewart, what was your number one film?
It's Fight Club.
Was it? I guess that.
Anybody who knows me is not surprised by its inclusion. It is not just my favorite film of 1999. It is my favorite film, period.
I found that out first time I met you.
The first conversation you have with me about film, it's going to come up. David Fincher, also probably one of my favorite filmmakers working today. I just love this movie. I watch it at probably a really integral moment in my film watching career, and it rocked my world, man. Truthfully, this film is one of those films that you can revisit endlessly and it will say something different to you regardless of what point you are in your life. Let me rephrase that. It totally has to do with where you are in your life. I think you watch it as an angsty, you know, teen, it's all about taking down the system. You watch it later in life, it's all about, you know, kind of reconciling yourself with the system in a lot of ways, or coming to put away the childish things of youth, like rebellion and like violence, and, you know, taking such great catharsis and joy in the idea of getting in fights. And it's just a great film. If you somehow have not managed to see this film or you haven't seen it in a long time, please rewatch it. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. Another endlessly quotable film. I mean, I could go on and talk to you about how to make soap or ask you who you'd fight if you could fight anyone, but I'll just say this. You met me at a very strange time in my life.
Excellent choice. My number one film from 1999 is Magnolia. Paul Thomas Anderson, I love him so much. Magnolia is one of those first movies I ever looked at when I was really seriously thinking about movies.
It's actually also on my honorable mentions list. I enjoy that movie quite a bit.
And it's fantastic.
I need to revisit it.
And it is labyrinthine. It is long. It is crazy, ridiculous, and absurd.
It's not a film that feels long, though, to me.
No.
It moves at a good clip. And great performances.
It's absolutely engrossing.
Yeah, completely.
And it's on an all-time list for me, I'm sure. I like that movie a lot. Your number one film, Grace?
American Beauty.
Nice. Also an honorable mention for me.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know, for me, it was just one of those. I always get caught up in like the whole, like what you were saying earlier, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be just a dark episode. Just the whole, the beauty and everything, and like the, you know, like even pain can have beauty if you
absolutely
look at it the right way. And like that was just like, oh man, that's what I'm, you know. So
absolutely,
for me, it's American Beauty, and the scene about like what, when they're watching the video of the, like, of the plastic bag just floating in the air, just gets to me every single time. I'm like,
it's, and I feel like we as a three need to defend both Magnolia and American Beauty, because they're two films I've had a lot of blowback against them recently, particularly American Beauty.
Yeah, more American Beauty than anything.
But Magnolia in its own right, too. These are both films that have, you know, kind of had some criticism and blowback thrown at them recently.
A little bit.
I don't really understand where that's coming from.
Well, I think the end of Magnolia asks for it.
Yeah.
It works for me.
It kind of hits you over the head with what it was been, it would have been saying all along.
We're not going to spoil this ending.
No, but it's a good ending.
It is. I think it's worthwhile.
This is great performances all around. I mean, really, truly engrossing stories. Tom Cruise is not a great actor, but his work as Frank T.J. Mackey in that movie is pretty damn amazing.
He's brilliant.
Wait,
you don't think Tom Cruise is a good actor?
No, I don't. I think he's a short actor.
About that.
He's not bad. The man's got screen presence.
Yes.
Undeniably.
Charisma.
But you throw him up on screen with the likes of Philip Seymour Hoffman and John C. Reilly and, oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
William H. Macy,
thank you. That's actually exactly what I was thinking of. And Julianne Moore and just a lot, some of the best actors alive. And he holds his own fairly well. Mm-hmm. And I think that speaks to, you know, when this guy pulls out a performance, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, American Beauty, same thing. I mean, life is for a living.
Blah, blah. And, you know, the thing I hear most often is, I liked this film better when it was called Ordinary People. Which I've never seen, so I can't speak to.
I can't speak to that issue either. But
have you seen it?
No, but I've seen these existential movies. They're formulaic in a way. But I think, particularly American Beauty, is original in the way it does, the way it takes it. I mean, that plastic bag scene that Grace mentioned earlier is absolutely gorgeous. And the idea of video and of watching and of voyeurism and of life and of participation versus spectatorship, all of that stuff just makes this amazing swirl of awesome, of really thoughtful movie making. And I gotta say, Kevin Spacey's off the chain.
Kevin Spacey is fantastic in everything he does.
Was K-Pax.
Oh, yeah. Him in particular is an actor that's got a lot of blowback recently as being overhyped, maybe, I guess is the word, overrated. I love Kevin Spacey, and I will have no naysaying about him.
I will not say nay.
Not in this house.
Any other honorable mentions anyone would like to mention?
Well, some of mine have already come up. Three Kings was mentioned by one of our listeners. Three Kings is a great film. There's a really funny thing on the DVD release of Three Kings where it says, basically, do not attempt to adjust your set. The directors have used, you know, interesting or original is the word I believe they use on the DVD release. Filmmaking techniques, blah, blah, blah. Basically telling dumb people to go with it. And I just think it's sad.
The colors are supposed to be that
saturated. Yeah, I think it's sad that we live in a world where we have to tell people that. But I really enjoy that movie. It's got a lot to say about the nature of war and violence and a good film. Being John Malkovich already came up, a great film. Magnolia and American Beauty came up. Two kind of films that are not going to come up on anybody's top five list. Go, film any of you guys have seen. Think of it as the funny Magnolia.
Okay.
Or the comedic crime thriller version of Magnolia. Intersecting stories type film. It's very much trying to be Pulp Fiction, and it doesn't succeed in a lot of places. Got some good performances, though, from Timothy Oliphant and Taye Diggs actually showed up, puts in a really great performance. Breckin Meyer. I mean, kind of a weird cast of people that didn't end up. Katie Holmes, I think. Huge cast. A lot of people that didn't end up doing much. A lot of people who had better success later in their careers. Go is a fun film, though. And most of you probably haven't seen it. Last I checked, it's still streaming on Netflix. So I highly recommend checking it out. It's only 90 minutes or so. A fun flick. Another one that didn't come up on anybody's list and won't come up on anybody's list is a film called The Boondock Saints. This is a film I have not revisited in a long time. I want to put that disclaimer on there because I'm afraid I won't like it if I rewatch it. It's one of those films I saw when I was younger, and it was a lot of fun before I saw better versions of this movie.
It's kind of like Equilibrium.
It's kind of like Equilibrium. It actually is very similar to Equilibrium in that way.
Yeah.
It's a fun action film, maybe a little bit on the pretentious side. But it spoke to me when I was young, and it's not a terrible film. So check it out. Tell me if it's still any good. I'm afraid to rewatch it.
I have two honorable mentions that have not
go ahead. Sorry.
Come up so far. One of them is The Sixth Sense. I love that movie.
Filmmaker in front of the show, Nick Samford, is very happy you just mentioned that.
And it's great. It's a great movie. M. Night Shyamalan is sometimes overrated, sometimes underrated, but he's got skill.
Moment of Truth? I've only seen it once. Haven't seen it since it first came out.
Really?
I was about 10 when it came out on tape.
I mean, the twist is what it's there for.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it is for a lot of people. But I think it's a pretty well-executed film. It hides its secrets well, and I like that about it. The other movie I really like from 1999 is a movie called The Green Mile.
Oh. Is that a 99 film?
It is.
Oh my gosh, I feel really bad that it didn't make my list at all. I totally forgot.
I love The Green Mile.
That's a wonderful movie. Frank Darabont's a great director. I wish he did more work, and I wish he was still the executive producer of The Walking Dead.
Totally fair. So those are my two honorable mentions. Well, all right, we're going to move on now, and we're going to talk about what's got us fired up this week in pop culture. So, Miss Grecia Gramajo, what's got you fired up this week in pop culture?
So I watched Man with the Iron Fist.
Of course you did. I did too, but you go.
You go. It was awesome, and it just started off with, you know, like, the Wu-Tang, and I'm in the theater, just shame on up, and then I was like, it was amazing, it was beautiful, and I'm pretty sure my hair can be part of the Lion Clan. When you watch it, you'll realize what I'm talking about. And it was cheesy, but it was cheesy in all the good ways, and then there was some... And what I like about the RZA and the Wu-Tang in general is that they're so philosophical. And then as cheesy as the movie was, it was, you know, there were moments when you were like, this is the RZA in, like, you know, with his philosophy in life. And like, oh, it was so awesome. And and my friend called me disturbed because I laughed at a few points. But
I did too.
Yeah. What did you think about it?
I actually didn't love it as much as you did. I thought it was kind of... the opening sequence...
Is it possible?
This is one of those in a frequent and very recent string of films where the best part of it's the opening credits. The opening credits of this movie is improper verb tense. I'm sorry. The opening credits of this film are amazing. Truly. Great score by an actual composer whose name I'm blanking on, and the RZA. Some great fight choreography. The film's kind of a mess, though. For a kung fu hip-hop movie, there's not a lot of kung fu or hip-hop. I think it gets wrapped up in its own mythology a little bit too much. And that's actually, it is on my list of what I'm fired up about this week. I'm fired up about how much I didn't love it. I really expected to go into this film and love it. I just liked it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it every bit as much as you thought you were going to.
Well, I mean...
I didn't mean to take the wind out of your sails.
No. Because that isn't possible.
I know. I did enjoy that movie quite a bit, though.
I don't know. It just...
The fight choreography was amazing, though,
it
right?
It worked for me. I think a lot of people walked in thinking it was going to be another Kill Bill. And then it isn't. And it isn't that. It's a lot more... Like I said, I really liked it. Or at least that's what the people I was with thought.
I think it actually was. You know, if anybody has actually seen Kill Bill recently and watched those expectations, I think they'd be accurate. Because Kill Bill is not a completely action-packed film at all. I just think this doesn't do a good of a job of the not-action things that it wanted to do. And a lot of that is probably, you know, a first-time writing and directing job by RZA. You know, kind of an unexperienced filmmaker. These are lessons he hasn't learned yet, probably. And also, he's not a great actor, and I think that hurts the film in places. I mean, he's not terrible, but he's not...
He does have a habit of always looking high, but it's the RZA, so...
And he probably was. But man, it was a fun movie. It cannot be denied. Russell Crowe is a blast. Lucy Liu's a blast.
Yeah.
Some really great fight choreography, and some good music, truly.
Well, let's get you fired up this week in pop culture.
Skyfall.
Skyfall.
Done. That's what's got me excited. That's what's got me fired up. I'm seeing an IMAX on Friday. By the time you listen to this episode, friends and loved ones, I will have seen Skyfall. I'm very excited. Sam Mendes, you came up again because you're directing a James Bond movie for some reason. It's kind of cool.
It is cool.
You know, after the very lackluster outing for 007 that was Quantum of Solace, it's definitely looking to be a return to form. Casino Royale is not just a good Bond movie. It's a great film in general. And I'm thinking Skyfall is going to be more of that kind of thing. Casino Royale, believe it or not, is actually on a lot of... I recently read a couple of film critics talking about their favorite Bond movies. It is on several film critics' favorite Bond movies of all time.
I'm no critic, but it's my favorite.
Well, you know, we're amateur critics.
So I was going to say, don't you think Javier Bardem with that blonde hair looks like Tim Curry?
Javier Bardem. Is scarier with bad hair, I find.
So
see No Country for Old Men, Brindle.
What I'm going to say about Skyfall is that it was recently released in Great Britain. People with whom I converse in, you know...
The United Kingdom. That was terrorizing.
That talked to us here in the colonies.
It's okay, you're the Jolly Theater.
And I want to just, again, remind everyone that to spoil is not okay.
Did someone spoil it for you?
I know there's a big twist and I already
Don't tell me.
I'm not going to say. I'm a good person.
I'm sorry. Aww. Did they like it, though?
They did.
Did these spoiling limeys enjoy it?
They did, and you know who you are.
Yes, spoiling limey.
Nonetheless.
I just like saying limey. I think it's fun.
Nonetheless, spoiling is not okay. Those of you who will see Skyfall immediately, do not spoil said spoilerific ending, because it is pretty shocking, I believe, what happens. So
she sent you here, knowing you were not ready, knowing you would likely die. Mommy was very bad.
That's just such a weird line. That's
so the Adele song was pretty awesome too.
I haven't actually heard the Adele opening.
It's very good.
Is it? I like Javier Bardem. He's a wonderful villain.
Mm-hmm.
And the line from the trailer, "Mommy was very bad," is so weird. Mm-hmm. I'm just
you in accents.
I'm not saying I'm good at them. I just think they're fun.
No. You always say
they're fun. This is actually not the only thing I'm excited about right now, though. It was announced earlier this week that next week we will be seeing not just a teaser, but the first full-length trailer for Grand Theft Auto V. The ever-entertaining, ever-controversial video game series that's not as controversial as it's made out to be. Something I'm very excited about. I'm a big gamer. Something listeners of the podcast might know about me. Pretty stoked. We'll see. That's all I got to say about that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm fired up this week because I got to go into a press screening for the movie Hitchcock that's coming out in about 3 weeks.
Starring
the great Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
I don't know if he's Sir Anthony Hopkins or not, but I just knighted him because he deserves it.
Is he not?
He should be.
Sir Hopkins. Is that the one with Helen Mirren, who may or may not be a dame?
Helen Mirren, and she is a dame.
Dame Helen Mirren.
Mm-hmm. I believe
she
so.
She is a dame.
I believe so. And so she is also in it. Scarlett Johansson is in it. Ralph Macchio is in it for just
Ralph
a little
Macchio?
Second. Playing Joe Stefano.
Has anyone ever told you look like Ralph Macchio?
I've heard it before.
You look like Ralph Macchio.
It's not the first time.
He also looks like Elvis.
No,
nonetheless.
You've said nonetheless a lot tonight.
The film is very, very good, and that's all I can say, probably.
Really?
You should go see the movie.
Now, is this... I know there's one about to be released, a Hitchcock biopic, starring Toby Jones for HBO.
Correct.
Is it biopic or biopic?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go biopic, because it sounds less pretentious.
I've only read it in print.
The Toby Jones one's for HBO, right?
Correct.
And that is set...
The Making of the Birds.
And this is The Making of Psycho.
The Making of Psycho.
How was it?
It was fabulous.
Psycho is a wonderful movie.
How does
it compare to Psycho?
Oh my goodness.
It doesn't? Yeah. I'm just... No. That was a fun question. No.
I don't know.
No.
No.
I wonder if the film would be as loved by non-Hitchcock fans, specialists, and whatnot. I wonder at, but it's really fun.
You are a big Hitchcock fan.
I love me some Hitchcock, and I love Psycho, and I know things about it. And thus, it makes it all the more entertaining.
Now, how much do you know about the production of Psycho?
Quite a lot.
Does it match up fairly well with...
What I understood, yes.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
So, very, very good. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
Anything else?
That is all that's got me fired up this week in pop culture, other than I did have a birthday, and one of the things that I got myself was the Batman Nightfall Volume 1, and I have a big stack of Batman comics.
Volume 1 of 13?
Of 3. Of
oh,
three.
That's right. No, it was the 13 issues originally when published.
But it's a lot. It's like this big stack of book. It's like that big.
That's not a volume. That's an omnibus.
And
it was a long. There is a,
there's some
in case
weight.
You didn't hear it.
There's some heft. There.
Now, does this? How far into the Nightfall saga does this get us? Does this get us?
I think a third.
Well, yeah, it's one of three. But does it get us to the Bat being? Spoiler alert! In case you've been living under a rock and didn't see Dark Knight Rises, the Bat is broken. In this. Do you know if it gets us that far?
Nope. Just,
okay. Well, you know, let me know. This is actually a fairly unpopular series. I don't know if you're aware of that. People who were big into comics in the 90s anyway, the generation before me, don't like it.
Why'd you? He just had a birthday. Don't say
people
that.
Older than you two, it's okay. Because people
you
that...
You two.
People that would have been my age in the early 90s. Which is older than you, Dustin. Don't look at me like that. I'm not calling you old.
Moving on.
They don't care for this. They thought it was a huge cash grab because it had the big fanfare behind it that the Death of Superman did, and they strung it out over a year plus, I think. So, but let me know how it is.
I'm very interested in long-form storytelling.
Oh,
whether it's the Lord of the Rings trilogy, whether it's the big franchises in film, this is just one of those things in the comic medium. And
we do. You and I do enjoy the comics.
And it's Batman. So...
Batman.
Dustin, where do you find the time to read that?
I don't
comics know. Are quick reads.
Well, depends. Anyway, that's great. We have a lot of things we're fired up about in pop culture. That is fantastic. Let's go ahead and begin to wrap up the show with some social media ability that you may have to follow us. First of all, we can be found on Facebook, facebook.com/goodtrashgenrecast. Also on Tumblr at goodtrashgenrecast.tumblr.com. There's another form of social media known as Twitter. I think we'll be there.
The Twitter, I believe, is a place we're located at. I had to get it in. I missed it last week. We can be found on the Twitter at good_trash.
We can also be followed individually. Dalton and I are both on Twitter. I'm at Dustin_Sells, S-E-L-L-S. Dalton's at Dalton Stewart, S-T-U-A-R-T.
That's me, baby.
Gracia is on Tumblr. Gracia, go ahead and let that handle out.
It's G-R-E-T-Z, little dash, C-I-A.
It's her name phonetically, you know.
As you do.
As one does, is want to do.
Let us know what you thought. What's your top five films from 1999?
Please,
what did you think about the movie Office Space? What's got you fired up this week in pop culture? And various and sundry other things that we discussed in the show. We'd like to hear more about all of that. And that way our inner thoughts and outer thoughts can all be shared together via social media. But until then, until next time, what we're going to begin now is Noirvember for the month of November. We've gotten this idea from Sales on Film at Tumblr, and so we give our recognition there. And we're going to begin by looking at the film Memento. Now, one of the things you may be thinking is that these may be a little bit movies that are better than our typical fare, but they are genre films in that they're neo-noirs. And even though they're too good for us, we can fake it.
We're bending the rules, because that's what noir is all about. It's about breaking the rules, man.
So, Christopher Nolan, Memento next week. The week following, we're going to be looking at a movie called Brick, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And finally, we're going to be looking at a movie called The Big Lebowski. Is it a noir? Oh, yes, it is. It's based on The Big Sleep, one of the greatest noirs of them all. And so we'll be looking at that the last week of November, moving right on into Christmas, which we might break the Netflix embargo. So stay listening, kids, as there are things that are going to be happening in December because it's Christmas.
And we're excited about it. And we want to watch some anti-Christmas films, but we'll talk more about that later.
You'll hear about these things.
You'll hear about it.
We would like to hear about things from you all. So please tell us all kinds of things about the things that we've said and give us suggestions for films. Tell us about how we're right. Tell us how we're wrong. And make up your own mind if you haven't happened to have seen Office Space or any of the other movies that we've talked about from the year 1999. Let us know what you think, and we'd love to hear all of that from you when we hear from you next time. But in the meantime, get out there and watch the movie, because there's a whole lot of good trash out there, and we might as well be paying attention to it. We'll talk to you next time.